I was gonna say that we should crack a bunch of jokes before we get started so that you have something you can use for a bump for this episode.
Oh my God. Yeah, we'll see. We'll just see what happens. I trust us.
We'll find some kind of tangent that will entertain us, yeah.
Yeah, if not,
And
I'll
if
use
not,
this.
just use this, yeah. Oh boy. Okay.
Done.
Ready?
Yeah.
Welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie. And we're here to talk about not so much singing,
No.
not so much dancing. Although there's some.
Just a little
Although
dancing,
there's
yep.
some. Yep. And Bollywood girls.
Bollywood girls who we're really excited about just seeing on screen together. Like,
Yes.
let's talk about the actors.
Yes.
Kajol and Kriti, what a combo.
Yes, we are talking about Do Pati, which
Yes.
we'll get into all the
Whew.
layers. But yes, those actors, my God.
Yeah. The performances, particularly from those two in this movie, were what made it worth watching,
Oh
I
yeah.
feel.
Because we know how much of like a trickster Kajol is, and because we know how smiley she is as like a person, I always really appreciate seeing her in a role like this. And
Yeah.
I would say the closest role that she's maybe had that we've seen is the Diwale role, which wasn't anything close to this. So I really enjoyed watching her
Me too.
in a more serious performance. And it's just
Yeah.
like her face and her eyes. She was incredible. Yeah.
She's so good. And I really think I completely agree with, like, we're so used to that, like, bubbly charm that she has. And I think her playing this kind of a more serious role where it's someone who's just kind of sardonic and snarky is perfect because she can still
Yeah.
have that energy, but it's just got this like sour edge to it.
Right.
I really like that. And I was also just really impressed by like the full emotional depth that Kriti brought to her. Both of the roles that she played.
Yes.
Like so many of the scenes, I was just like, yes, girl, get
Like,
it.
she is also such a subtle actor. And again, it's just like you didn't necessarily see that in her like very first role. Now, granted,
No.
that role was not one that really required a lot of depth. But we've said it once before, we'll say it again. Like, it's been amazing to watch her grow and develop. And she
Totally.
is really a phenomenal actor in this, I think.
She
Yeah.
is. I do think, though, kind of overall, the film was a little bit of a letdown for me. I think just like,
Yeah.
you know, it was an important subject, and I don't want to say necessarily that they mishandled it. I just think that there were different ways that they could have told the story that would have been more effective.
Yeah, I also wanted to, we should probably mention it before we get more into a description of the plot, but like trigger warning that there is domestic violence, a
Yeah.
lot of it.
Yeah, and I made a note of that as well that, you know, in my plot recap, I'm going to say when violence happens, but there's going to be no
Perfect.
discussion of the details of that violence.
Yes. Great. Good.
But yeah, you know, I knew that this movie had something to do with violence against women, but I didn't realize the full extent of that
It's
being
like
really the
that's its
central theme of the plot.
whole point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say at least it's told from the perspective of women.
Right. And it's also, you know, it's important to have movies about serious topics. So the
Absolutely.
fact that
Yeah.
we weren't necessarily fully prepared for that being what this is about isn't so much a criticism,
No.
as much as just like, I think they just kind of missed the mark with the storytelling.
Yeah, and like once I realized what it was about, I was like, oh, okay, shifting gears. Like I kind of was expecting something else. But then halfway through, I started to kind of think, are we making a movie where people are lying about being abused?
Yeah.
Like, and I started to fear that that was where that was going. And I was like, that's not gonna help the
No.
cause of people in these situations being heard and believed. And that's not where it went, but it kind of felt like it was leading us in that direction for a solid like 30 minutes.
Yeah, I'll draw more attention to my own confusion in those moments too when I do the recap,
Yeah.
but there was a moment for me too where I was like, okay, what is it exactly that she's doubting here? Because
Right.
it could be multiple different things, and one of them makes sense, and the other one seems like it's just fully undermining what I thought the message of this movie was.
Right, exactly. And we'll just talk about it when it happens.
Yeah. I almost wondered if it was a something lost in translation kind of an issue. Like, okay. If the actual script, like, in Hindi made it very clear that she was like, I doubt that he tried to kill you. And it was very specifically that. But we'll get into it.
Yeah.
So we've already talked about our two leading ladies, Kajol and Kriti Sanon. Honestly, I feel like that's good. I don't feel like I need to mention any of the rest of the cast. I mean, you know, good, solid performances all around. But yeah,
apparently the guy who played Dhruv is like a Daily Soaps actor.
Oh.
I was just reading some reviews on IMDb, and people were like, we came for his acting because we love him. Like, I guess he plays like a hero in whatever TV show he's in.
Okay.
And so people were like, whoa, different character, which is interesting because I've never seen that actor.
No, me neither. Well, then in that case, props to Shahir Shaikh. It was the kind of thing where, like, I immediately didn't like him. The movie never at any point tried to make you like him. And so I just didn't. So my apologies to Shahir Shaikh. I'm sure that he is a nice guy.
Yes. Yeah.
And the movie was directed by Shashanka Chaturvedi.
Okay.
Shall we get into it?
Let's get into it.
Okay.
Ooh, let's also make sure to call lots of attention to the cute bunny.
I just left the bunny out of my recap. How about every time you wrote down something about the bunny, you can chime in with
that? I wrote down nothing. I just felt my feelings. But okay, all right. Before the recap starts, there's a really cute bunny.
Yep.
And it's really cute. And it's nice.
And it gets to have a happy life.
Yes, he gets to have a happy home with Kajol's, like, coworker, which is so sweet, because he says they're going to eat carrots in the sun together.
That's all I want in life.
Yeah, so that's the saga of the bunny.
Yep. Okay, now let's set aside joyful things and just dive into the sad.
Yep.
Okay, so we open in Devipur, Uttarakhand, to a paragliding accident in progress.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Onlookers are calling for help and questioning whether the struggling figures in the sky will survive the crash. The paragliders get tangled up in a bridge, and then rescue crews arrive to bring them to safety. And we see a cop run forward and approach the woman paraglider just as the man paraglider is dragged away by more police officers. The woman tells the cop that he tried to kill her. And we get our title card, Dopati. We then flash back to 3 months earlier, and the cop from the bridge is named Vijay, and she is new to the Devipur police force. She got transferred here because she couldn't get promoted at her old precinct, and her boss tells her that if she wants to get promoted here, she'll need to learn to work the system. He says trees that don't bend in the wind will be uprooted, but Vijay counters that trees that do bend with every storm never grow tall.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we come to learn about her, she's very by the book. She even sent her own brother to jail for 6 months.
Yeah. Extreme. I would have liked a little more character building from her.
I agree. As I was going through my notes, there were a lot of little, like, nuggets of things that I wrote down. Like, surely that will come back. And it didn't. Right.
Like, her mom died a month ago.
Yep.
She put her own brother in jail. Like, she kind of lives alone and she doesn't have a partner, which is fine. But it's like, it felt like we were building this picture of this woman who might have her own trauma and stuff. No.
Yeah, I know. And I do. I feel like the movie would have been so much better if the whole thing was about her grappling with knowing that these two women committed a crime against a man who committed multiple crimes. You know, like.
Yes, yeah.
That's where the real emotional depth of the movie is.
And it wouldn't have been that hard.
Yeah. Yeah, so sent her own brother to jail. She also tells us in a voiceover, which the narration was pointless. We didn't need the narration.
Was there a voiceover? I forgot. Oh, okay.
There's just like weird moments where we hear her narrating things that totally could have just come out in conversation.
Oh, right, you're right. Yeah. Huh.
But so she tells us in her narration that her father was a judge, the word of law, and her mother was a lawyer, the spirit of law. And she always followed in her father's footsteps, very literal interpretation of the legal system and right and wrong. Mm-hmm. Also, she has a degree in law. That'll be important later.
Pretty cool.
So we see Vijay respond to a report of domestic violence at a large, secluded house in town. Two women answer the door, and the younger woman is the one who we saw in the paragliding accident. Mm-hmm. She has a bruise on her face, and Vijay asks if she's okay. The woman, Soumya, says that she just walked into a cabinet, and she shuts the door. The next day, Vijay gets a call that a fight has broken out at Valley View Point, which is where Dhruv Sood's paragliding business is. She and her colleague, Katoch, go to check it out, but when Katoch sees the owner, Dhruv, roll up on his motorcycle, he says that they don't want to mess with him. Mm. Katoch calls him a big shot who's built his success around his dad's money, and Vijay says Dhruv looks like a chocolate boy? And I don't know what that means, but sure.
I don't know what that means either, but I'm kind of like, is it like a pretty boy, like a playboy, like someone who is all frills and no substance?
Right, like he sort of seems like he's substance, but he would melt really easily.
Ooh, yeah. Maybe. How... could mean something completely different.
It's definitely not a compliment, so.
Definitely not.
That we know. Katoch observes that Vijay has a problem with men, but Vijay corrects him. She has a problem with... I wrote buttheads, but she used a different word.
Yes.
Katoch also explains that Dhruv is the husband of Soumya, the woman who they got the call about the domestic violence case about. So Vijay goes to investigate further, and she ends up at a market where she is surprised to discover that Soumya has an identical twin sister, Shaylee.
Mm-hmm.
Vijay is... she reacts to this like she's never seen twins before.
Yeah, it's a little too like, what?
Yeah, she's like truly shocked by, and they do look a lot alike. I've never seen identical twins that do just look like copies of each other.
The same, yeah.
So maybe that would be kind of shocking.
Maybe. Also, to be clear, I'm not criticizing Kajol's acting. I'm criticizing like the writing.
The story.
And possibly the directing. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so she leaves this market and she decides that she's not going to probe into this case any further until the older woman that she saw at the Sood house the night before comes out and tells Vijay that she was the one who called the police. And this is Maji, who says Soumya will never do anything to upset her husband, like filing a complaint against him.
Yeah.
Vijay very insensitively asks if Soumya has quote-unquote devoted wife syndrome. Yeah. And this is the kind of thing, too, where I'm like, this is only okay if we flesh out this character's backstory and we have a better understanding of where she's coming from.
Like, right. Like, if
I mean,
she
it's not
had...
okay, but it's only, no. like, palatable as a viewer.
Potentially understandable, like, if she herself experienced domestic violence and, in a sense, is mad at herself for having, you know, like... that is something that you could then transfer on to another person.
Right. Yeah, there's some good complexity to that. But this, it's just like she's a mean lady who doesn't think that women who get abused should receive any sort of sympathy. Well,
are we supposed to assume that that's her background, or are we not?
I don't know, because the part where she talks about her fiancé is, like, so brief, and and it seems like the only thing that she was mad at him for was, like, leaving him after her mom died. So, like,
yeah,
I cannot believe that that is what they were going for, because they did absolutely nothing to, like, really set that up.
I also just, well, now we're in it, because I also just think it would make the narrative stronger, rather than her being, like, a woman who I think cares about this case because they're women.
Yeah.
To changing it to be, like, it is so prevalent, like, there is a strong likelihood that she would have experienced, like, that
or
multiple
that, like,
people...
her mom or someone close to her did, and it was frustrating for her to see them, like, not
her life has been touched by this before, and that's why... because it does seem like she kind of champions the cause.
Mm-hmm. And I think that sets up even better the internal conflict of, like, I've seen how much damage this causes, but also I'm very by the book, and these women committed a crime, but they, you know, I just think that it creates that tension more strongly.
I agree. Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, well. It is what it is. But so anyway, Maji says that Soumya refuses to leave Dhruv because she doesn't want to lose to her sister. So we flash back as Maji explains that she moved in with the twins' family when they were only 5 years old, and then 3 years later, their mom died. Both girls took her death very hard, but because Somya was also prone to illness, she got special treatment from their father and from Maji.
Mm-hmm.
Shaylee calls Somya a drama queen, and Maji explains that the girls eventually became enemies, and after an incident where Shaylee cut Somya's hair while she was sleeping, the father decides to send her off to boarding school.
Yeah.
Soon after, the twins' dad dies, and Somya's health continues to decline, and Shaylee stops coming home from school, but she continues to send home trophies and just kind of tokens of her big, adventurous, successful, fabulous life that she's living.
Mm-hmm.
We then see Somya meet Dhruv, who immediately invites her to go paragliding with him, but she's afraid of heights. She tells him this, but Dhruv teases her, and she's apparently drawn in by his quote-unquote charms, as it were. I don't know.
Yeah, they gave us, like, one really quick scene where we're supposed to believe he's charming. I don't know.
Again, not a criticism of the acting. It's just the storytelling is it just kind of leaves these big wide gaps here. Somya's into this. She's really sheltered, so this, like, handsome guy kind of, like, trying to sweep her off her feet really does it for her. So they do jump, and Somya is scared at first until Dhruv tells her to open her eyes, and staring out at the view and at the clear skies reminds her of her mother. When they land, Somya hugs Dhruv and thanks him for this experience. We then get a love montage of them growing closer until Shaylee rolls back into town. She immediately starts flirting with Dhruv and asks Somya if they're friends because she says that he is out of Somya's league.
Mm-hmm.
Super nice thing to say to your sister.
Just a note here. The two different sisters, it's so good. Kriti does it so well.
She does do a really good job, yeah. Like, you don't really necessarily even need a physical difference between them to know who she's being in the moment because she carries herself differently, she emotes differently, yeah.
Which we've mentioned before, but that's important with this doubles trope.
Absolutely, yes. You've really got to set the tone, set a different tone for each character.
Yeah.
So things start to heat up between Dhruv and Shaylee, and he tells Somya that he's attracted to Shaylee's wild and adventurous spirit.
Yeah.
Which, just as, like, a sheltered and reserved young woman, is not what you want to hear.
No, it's like, because that's what those types of women, and I know because I was one, that's what we always told ourselves the boys wanted. And then when it's confirmed that that's what the boys want, oh, awful.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
To be clear, that's not what all men want.
No, exactly. Yeah, we're not trying to lump all people's tastes into
one area. No, but when you're like, when you're young, that's what you think.
Exactly, yeah. You put people into categories and you have expectations of things, yeah. Somya later sees Dhruv leaving the house early in the morning, clearly after having spent the night with Shaylee. So they're happening. They're an item now. We see Shaylee take every opportunity to rub their relationship in Somya's face, which also, it just made me wonder, does this woman even like her life? Like, it seems like she does literally everything just to spite her sister. So I'm like, is there any, like, real genuine joy in your life anymore? But there's trauma.
Well, I also feel like it wasn't very clear, like, what was she doing all that time she was away? What do they do now? Do they own that shop? Is it an antique shop? What is it?
The shop thing was and there's also, like, their uncle is there, and I'm like, who is uncle? I don't know. Yeah, there was a lot of questions.
There was a lot of stuff that could have been cleared up with, like, one quick conversation. Like, oh, she's back from the city, or, you know, like, whatever.
Unlike all the women in Street 2, she went to the city and she did come back. Yeah, all a little confusing and not very well fleshed out. But anyway, then we see Dhruv, he throws a dinner party and he's invited an important minister to do some business dealings at this dinner party. And they're interrupted by Shaylee's drunken antics.
Well, I don't know why he invited a bunch of, like, young party people.
I think he's just stupid.
It's like, if this is an important one-on-one business meeting, I don't know, maybe keep it to a one-on-one business meeting.
Have it be an important one-on-one business meeting. Yeah, don't invite all these extra people. But so Somya tries to help Shaylee, but Shaylee calls her a drama queen again. And then that night, Dhruv gets a call from his dad, who is angry at him for blowing this important meeting with this minister.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dad tells Dhruv that he needs to get serious and stop being such a party boy, and that Dhruv needs to marry a serious girl or forget about his business. We can see where this is going. Dhruv invites Somya to go paragliding with him again, and while they're in the air, he asks her to marry him. She says that she knows she's not his type, but he says that too much adventure can give you a heart attack, and she feels like home to him. Yeah, so they land, they kiss, and back in the present, Vijay says, two birds, one bullet. And speaking of two birds, the next thing we see is Shaylee flipping off Dhruv with the double birds.
Ooh, yes, that's very true.
When he tells her about this engagement to her twin sister. Again, just weird. So weird.
It's all very weird. Can you imagine? It's like, even if they weren't officially, like, dating.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell the person I'm sleeping with that I'm no longer going to sleep with them by telling them that I proposed to their twin.
Yep. That's so weird.
It's weird behavior.
It's, yeah, not a good choice. And then there's an encounter between Dhruv and Shaylee at a bar where she congratulates him on his homely and simple wife. And then she tells Dhruv that she could have forgotten him in 5 shots, but because she's losing to her sister, she'll have to empty the entire bar.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, we see Shaylee angry dance and drink vodka straight from the bottle, interspersed with scenes from Dhruv and Somya's wedding.
Yeah.
At the post-wedding celebrations, Shaylee shows up in the same outfit as Somya and takes Dhruv's arm in the family photo.
That's, like, also unhinged behavior.
All of this is so aggressive.
She had to have put henna on her hands, like, yes! The same time that her sister did.
She had to have, like, yeah, like, paid someone to, like, come and henna her hands. Well, yeah. That's crazy, crazy stuff. But she also then, like, she conspires to have Dhruv think that he's being brought to Somya for their wedding night, but he's actually being brought to her. And so Somya freaks out, but Shaylee's like, oh no, don't worry, we were just talking. And I was telling him he's got to protect you the way everyone has protected you all your life. Yeah. I'm sorry. No,
I mean, that's the vibe. I was also like, well, but what did happen behind that closed door?
Yeah. I mean, I have to imagine something did happen because Dhruv's icky.
Yeah, but that never came back.
No. But anyway, Somya tells Shaylee to stay away from Dhruv, and Shaylee asks if Somya really thinks that she'll be able to keep his interest.
This is not a healthy sister relationship.
No, it's really not. We both have sisters.
Yeah.
I can't imagine anything
like
this.
Oh my god, no.
Yeah, no, it's pretty wild. Maji then explains to Vijay that Dhruv started getting violent with Somya a few months ago when his business started going downhill. She says Somya won't jeopardize her marriage by filing a police complaint, and Vijay says she can't do anything without a complaint or evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So Maji starts trying to get evidence, and she does manage to record a video of Dhruv twisting Somya's arm after a mishap at dinner with that same important minister. Things are just going real bad with this important guy.
Yeah.
Just can't pin him down. Vijay then approaches Somya on the street and asks her why she won't report her husband because it's clear to everyone that he abuses her, which is, again, a little aggressive in a way that I think,
yeah,
it doesn't, it just reflective of all the stuff we've already said.
Yeah.
And Somya says that no one can see how much he loves her. Dhruv then goes to the police station and threatens to get his powerful politician father involved if Vijay doesn't stop trying to build a case against him. And Vijay says that she doesn't have to build a case. The case is evident from Somya's face.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it tried to show the push and pull of these kinds of relationship. And I don't know. I don't feel like it necessarily got that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it
they showed those sweet moments.
And it also sprinkled, like, early during their kind of growing love story, some tense moments. What's also getting to me is, like, is it because she doesn't want to lose to her sister? Or is it because, like, there's sort of too much happening in this part of the movie. There's too much to kind of know what to focus on. And we've said it before about a lot of other movies. It's like, when they do that, none of it really gets fleshed out in any kind of significant or meaningful way. So we're just kind of being told this is what's happening instead of being shown.
Right. Yeah. And then there's, like, the whole recurring thing where Somya wants a baby and she keeps talking about it. And for some reason, like, Dhruv might be really sweet, but then if she brings that up, he immediately is furious. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but we never actually see a conversation about, like, I mean, he mentions at one point, he's like, I have too much on my plate to have a baby. But that's literally one sentence, and it happens one time, and this conversation comes up, like, four times. I don't know. I would have also just appreciated more of, like, is she looking for purpose? Is she looking for an ally?
Like, what more of her motives for wanting a baby.
Yes.
Yeah, which I don't think that the dynamic between her and Dhruv on that needed to get better fleshed out. But I agree. We could have maybe seen her talking to Maji about wanting to have a baby.
Because it just always felt kind of random when she would bring it up. Mm-hmm. And especially when it's like, well, what's his deal? I don't know. But
yeah. The baby thing was sort of just, again, it was this additional element.
Yeah.
This additional layer that we didn't need. It could have just been that, or it could have just been any of these other things.
Right.
But because it was so many, none of them really felt fulfilling.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the plot. This is the first time that the baby thing comes up. Dhruv is kind of making advances on Somya. She then says that she wants to have a baby, and he just ends it right there and says that that's total nonsense. But then the next day, we see Dhruv and Somya having a sweet moment, and Maji and Shaylee are kind of watching them from up on their balcony, and Maji tells Shaylee that Dhruv is a monster, but Shaylee just says yet again that Somya is a drama queen, and she knew that she couldn't handle him. Mm-hmm. Maji then catches Shaylee and Dhruv sharing a charged glance, so there's clearly still some feelings there. The conflict intensifies between Shaylee and Somya, not helped by Dhruv joking that he married the boring sister.
Yeah.
Somya keeps telling Shaylee to leave, but Shaylee says that that won't fix her marriage, there's too much wrong with it, and she's not the actual problem. Which, in a sense, is true, but...
Yeah, she's not helping things.
Exactly. Dhruv is then about to leave for a business trip, and Somya brings up having a baby again. And he says that he doesn't have time for that. He also tells Somya that he feels suffocated by her, and he knows he can't make her happy because she's always unwell and she's always miserable, and then finally that he married the wrong sister. And Somya, in response to this, says that he hasn't worked for anything in his life. He's gotten everything just because his dad gave it to him, which, as far as we've seen, is 100% accurate.
Yeah.
And then Dhruv goes on a violent tear, which ends with him pushing Somya down the stairs. Mm-hmm. He then leans over Somya and asks her why she made him mad, and she knows that he has a temper.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Vijay goes to investigate a prior attempted murder case against Dhruv that was filed in Haryana, where he's from. Dhruv's friends kind of like track her there, and then they threaten her, but she is undeterred and continues her investigations. Dhruv gets back from his trip, and Maji threatens to report him to the cops if he hurts Somya again. Dhruv heavily implies that he will kill Somya and make it look like a suicide if Maji turns him in.
Yep.
Somya overhears this, and she goes into a complete panic, and we see her desperately wiping at a picture of her mother. And Shaylee sees this, and she tells her to leave Dhruv, but Somya doesn't respond.
Yeah.
Now a whole thing happens where Shaylee is telling Dhruv that he has to confront Vijay, so he seems to just walk into Vijay's house.
Yeah.
And just, like, start threatening her, and he even gets violent and pushes her against the wall, but Vijay holds her ground and tells him to get in line. I don't understand why she didn't just arrest him. Like, he broke into her house, it seems, and is, yeah, like, getting violent with a police... Like, I don't understand why this, again, wasn't a bigger deal.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
He did physically threaten and touch her, so...
Yeah.
And in the States, that would be considered assaulting a police officer.
Right. Even if you're not a police officer, like, he assaulted her, and she could then go to the police, but she is the police. It's just, I don't know.
That's a plot hole.
Yeah, weird stuff happening here. But so then after this happens, Dhruv goes back to Shaylee, and he's kind of, like, trying to bank on her understanding the situation with Somya and saying, like, you know, she stirs up drama, and she's on all these meds, and these meds make her crazy. And then finally he falls into Shaylee's arms and says that he can't live with Somya anymore. Mm-hmm. And Vijay sees all of this from her balcony. Lots of snooping from balconies in this movie.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't have a private conversation in the driveway of the police officer's house.
Yeah, drive away first and then have this conversation. But so the next day, I get, like, they do have Dhruv at the police station, so I don't know if Vijay, like, did bring him. I don't know. They're at the police station now. And Dhruv's lawyer is there as well, and he says that the attempted murder case in Haryana is sub judice under that jurisdiction, whatever that means. The lawyer also says that Dhruv has learned to control his temper since then. Vijay turns to Soumya and says that Dhruv will never change, but Soumya says that everything is fine, she and Dhruv love each other, and they're even starting a family. She looks pointedly at Dhruv, who agrees.
Mm-hmm.
Back at home, Soumya asks Dhruv if they can start over by recreating their paragliding proposal, and Dhruv agrees. They'll go paragliding, but after the upcoming Holi celebrations.
Yes.
So at the Holi celebrations, Shaylee is the center of attention. She's dancing with Dhruv until Soumya pulls him away to go paragliding.
It was fun to get to see Kriti dance a little bit.
It was. If we were going to have a dance number, it should have been either earlier or over the end credits.
I'd agree with that.
This isn't a good placement for that.
Yeah, no.
But yes, Kriti's a phenomenal dancer, so she did a lovely job. Vijay's also here at this Holi celebration, and Maji is trying to convince her that there's something going on between Shaylee and Dhruv, but then Vijay gets a call about yet another incident happening at Valley Viewpoint. And so this is where we see the paragliding accident from the start of the movie. Soumya is dangling from her safety equipment and shouting that Dhruv unhooked her harness.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple onlookers are taking videos, and when Dhruv and Soumya get pulled to safely, Shaylee also arrives on the scene and runs to Soumya, and Vijay orders that Dhruv be taken into custody. So then at the police station, Soumya gives her statement. Dhruv tried to kill her while they were paragliding.
Mm-hmm.
Shaylee is also there at the station, and Dhruv is shouting that he didn't do anything, Soumya is to blame, and Shaylee knows it too. Vijay asserts with her boss that she is going to keep this case and she is going to bring Dhruv down, and she isn't even deterred by Dhruv's dad and his friends and the lawyer when they all show up to try to intimidate her.
Yeah, I also just feel like so much was made of Dhruv's dad and how he'd be able to get him off without any problems. And then, like, his dad is just like, oh, the judge is a woman? Well,
it's nothing I can do.
And that was, like, the end of it. Like,
it, yeah, his dad does very little.
Because we were also building up all this stuff with Dhruv, like, feeling emasculated and, like, made to feel a failure by his father. And so I was like, okay, are we also kind of showing some of, like, the whys behind his actions? But I feel like that wasn't fully fleshed out. And
right.
Also, there's never an excuse, but you know what I mean. Like,
right, right. A character who is violent for a reason feels more dangerous than a character who's just violent for no reason.
Right.
And is better fleshed out.
They went halfway with a lot of things. Yes, or maybe not even halfway. Sometimes just like a quarter of the way.
They just sort of lightly hinted at some things that they could have just pushed all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then hinted at less of the other stuff. But so now we're in court, and Vijay is also representing Soumya as her lawyer, which I feel like, and I don't know, the Indian judicial system might be different, but I feel like that would be a conflict of interest to have the arresting officer.
I would think so, but hey, I guess anyway, not.
Yeah, it's fine. So Dhruv denies any violence against Soumya or any attempt to kill her, and when asked about Soumya's medical records showing all of the physical injuries that she's had, he just says she's clumsy.
Yeah.
Soumya testifies that she and Dhruv fought again about having a baby while they were paragliding, and so he unbuckled her harness in the air. Dhruv's lawyer says his anger issues and violent tendencies don't extend beyond the trivial. No serious or lethal injury has ever been inflicted. So it's fine.
But didn't they say at that bar that they went to that, like, he came with a gun and, like, opened fire?
Oh, well, yeah. But that was the attempted murder. Those are sub judice. Those don't matter anymore.
Right. Okay.
I don't understand why any of that needed to be in here. But so the lawyer submits evidence that Somya is on multiple medications, which make her mentally unstable.
This also made me feel uncomfortable. Because I get what they were saying, that, like, he's a horrible person. But again, I didn't feel like there was really a champion standing up to be like, hey, just because you have anxiety and you have depression, that doesn't make you mentally unstable. Like,
right.
No one ever came out and said that.
No, yeah, there was never any moment where there, like, there was any arguing against that point.
It was just like, oh, well, whoops.
Yeah, like, if they had had Vijay in some way be able to counter that.
Yeah.
But no.
They didn't.
And I was just like, yeah.
I feel like this is a dig at, frankly, a lot of people.
Right.
Many, many people on this planet are on medication or suffer from, you know, anxiety and depression. Like, it's not an uncommon thing.
No, yeah.
Yeah, so I was just a little like, that rubbed me the wrong way, and it didn't feel like it got addressed in a proper way.
Totally. But yeah, so Dhruv, he attests to this as well, and he says that Somya's meds give her hallucinations and delusions, and that Somya has had acute depression since her mother's death. He says his life with her has been a living hell, and he wonders why no one ever listens to the men.
Gross.
And, like, there are men who, like, are victims of domestic abuse and other, like, horrible things happen to them. But in this moment, it was definitely like, oh, you poor, poor man.
Yeah. Ooh. No, you raise a good point. Like, I do believe men should be listened to. But in this context, when he is an abuser.
Not this man.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's all we're saying. Not this man.
And granted, yeah, he shouldn't get charged for attempt to murder when he did not attempt to murder, but, like, he has attempted to murder in the past.
He has, and is just, so... like, out here walking around free because of the sub judice thing.
Yeah.
So
it's wild.
It really is wild. So the next time that they're in court, Vijay calls Shaylee to the stand, and Shaylee keeps saying that she knew nothing about the abuse and she didn't want to come between Somya and Dhruv. And Vijay says that the phone records prove that Shaylee and Dhruv were having an affair, but Dhruv says that he was just calling Shaylee frequently because he needed her support in dealing with Somya. Dhruv claims that Somya unhooked herself from her harness and wouldn't let him take control while they were paragliding, and he says that she's mentally unstable and did all of this to get him in trouble. Vijay asks Dhruv if Somya wasn't a frequent paraglider, how did she know how to unbuckle her harness? And Dhruv is totally stumped by this question. He's got no answer.
Yeah. Although it is just, I think it looks kind of just like a normal harness.
It looked pretty easy. Yeah, it didn't look that hard. But, you know, whatever. Several witnesses also confirm hearing Somya shout that Dhruv unbuckled her while they were falling, and so ultimately the judge says Dhruv is guilty and sentences him to 13 years in prison. Yay. Okay. Somya weeps with relief, but then Vijay catches her exchange a look with Shaylee, and Shaylee kind of has a little smile on her face. And so Vijay starts to question everything and suspects the sisters somehow conspired to put Dhruv in prison. Now, just imagine if just this were the movie. Just these last, like, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
This is where I feel like things are interesting and clear and make sense.
Right. And I had the thought, I don't think this should have been marketed as a thriller, like, as it was.
Yeah.
I think they were trying to do a lot in the beginning half of, like, leading us on or to make us think, like, but it felt forced and, like, manufactured, whereas I think they could have very easily turned it into a drama of, like, yeah, a police officer trying to get justice for this woman who isn't able to even help herself, who also has these weird dynamics with her sister, and then have it almost be like a surprise thriller.
Yeah.
Where it's like at this moment, like, if this were the first time that they would, like, do the sound effect that they kept doing, you know, if then they were like, that would be really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, not to undermine your point, but this did take me by surprise.
I just kept waiting for it. I felt like we were building to it the whole movie.
I felt like Somya did free herself from her. Like, she did set up Dhruv, that he didn't actually try to kill her. Like, I was like, that's clear to me. That's just obvious. But I wasn't expecting there to be this whole, like, thing her and Shaylee, like, teaming up. Like, I wasn't expecting that. You know, and maybe that's just me. Like, you know, as we've said before, like, whoever's taking the notes often misses things. So maybe that was just me kind of missing the build up, the clues that you felt were just leading to some kind of big twist like that.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's fair.
in my mind, I've been picturing, like, this movie is about a lawyer who, like, the movie starts with this lawyer defending this case, and then you kind of find out these little things about the backstory as the case is unfolding in court, and then she, you know, that's what I wish this movie had been. That's what I've been sort of envisioning. Vijay's questioning everything. She asks Katoche to get her the CCTV footage from every street between the Holi celebration and Valley View Point. She also confronts Shaylee and asks whether Somia was acting and whether Shaylee never helped her because she knew Somia was lying. And so this is what, like, we were alluding to earlier, where I feel like maybe it was just not clear in the translation that, like, Vijay is doubting just the attempted murder and not the abuse, but it definitely felt to me like she was doubting the whole situation.
Me too. And I was like, I don't like this.
Nope. Yeah.
What's the point of this movie if we are basically enforcing the idea that we shouldn't listen to women? Yeah. Right.
Yeah, if we're suggesting that that's the case. But so Shaylee in this scene says Somia is capable of hurting herself, but not anyone else. Back at the Sood house, Shaylee is shaken and asks Maji if they did the right thing. We flash back to the scene where Somia was polishing the picture of their mother, but this time we see more. Mm-hmm. Somia essentially has a breakdown. We see her, like, hitting her finger with a rock. She's, like, fully, like, torturing herself. And she's saying that her mother's death was all her fault and that her father should have been punished, but he wasn't. And Dhruv won't be punished either. Mm-hmm. And this also, for me, I was like, this is really interesting. I didn't see this coming. And this is really compelling.
I didn't see that, her mother was a victim of domestic violence either. No, that was a surprise for me. And I was like, okay. Like, now it also makes it clear why she has, like, the anxiety and depression that she does. Like,
Shaylee says Somia should pack her bags, but Somia says she can't leave her two daughters, and then hands Shaylee a picture of them.
Yeah.
Which is also this interesting moment where she's, like, taking on the role of her mother. Again, interesting stuff here. Yeah,
it is.
The whole movie could have been this interesting. Shaylee says that she'll protect Somia and she'll make sure that Dhruv is punished. So back in the present, Vijay finds evidence from the CCTV footage that Dhruv and Somia stopped at the market on their way to Valley View Point, meaning Shaylee and Somia could have feasibly switched places before going paragliding. Mm-hmm. And then they also had the chance to swap back at the police station. So this is now her theory.
Yeah.
Vijay confronts the sisters at the house, saying justice must be served, so she is reopening this case. Shaylee asks Vijay whether she should have waited for Dhruv to kill her sister before taking him to court. She says Vijay knows Dhruv deserves to be punished, and she did what she thought was right, so now Vijay can do what she thinks is right.
Mm-hmm.
Vijay files for an urgent hearing, but before she can submit her new evidence, which I do think it's worth noting, too, that this evidence is fairly weak.
Yeah.
Like, she just has proof that they could have swapped places.
Right. Yeah.
It's not that they actually did.
As far as, like, a police slash law drama goes, it's not that strong.
It's very weak in that regard, too. Like, the just the understanding of the system is not there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have an understanding of the system, but even I am like, this feels a little tenuous.
Yeah.
But anyway, before Vijay can submit this evidence, Shaylee takes the stand and confesses to being guilty of her mother's death. We flash back to the twins' childhood and see that their dad abused their mom and Somia actually saw their dad kill their mom, but Shaylee and their uncle told her to keep this to herself.
This also, I wish, would have come out in a different way. It felt over the top and performative. Like,
yes.
Just as a plot device, when she got up on the stand, she was like, I'm guilty. I was kind of rolling my eyes. Couldn't you have figured out how to tell us this?
Yeah.
And tell Vijay this, like, in a different way?
Yeah. Because I also think, too, you know, she's making the point that anyone who knows domestic violence is happening and says nothing is guilty. But, like, two of the people she's talking about are 8-year-old children.
Right.
And so I just think we could have maybe been a little bit clear. Like, the uncle, sure. He probably could have said and did something. Maji, too. Yeah. But, like, the 2 8-year-old daughters who were, like, the biggest victims beside the mother who died, we don't need to be saying that they're guilty. So Shaylee getting up and confessing, it's not quite right.
No, and I do appreciate what she says, but yes. It was just a weird placement and weird delivery as far as the narrative goes.
Right, yeah. Like, this could have happened when they were talking to Vijay at the house, and then in court, Vijay gives her speech, and then we're done. Like, that could have been how it unfolded. Yeah. But so Shaylee says that standing up for yourself isn't easy, and she's proud of Soumya for doing it, and she asks Vijay not to break Soumya's spirit. Vijay, I think, again, in, like, her internal narration, wonders if she should follow the word of law or the spirit of law. And she gives a speech about how abusing a wife and mother causes harm to entire families, and it destroys entire generations, and she rescinds her appeal. We see the sisters embrace, and we can hope that they start to heal together from all of this trauma. Vijay says that she followed in her mom's path, the spirit of the law. And we end the movie seeing her responding to another domestic violence call, and when the victim's mother-in-law says that it's a private matter, Vijay pushes into the house and says, no, it's a criminal matter. And that's the end of the plot. We end the movie with a website, wannatalkaboutit.com, suggested as a resource for anyone who has experienced, is experiencing, or knows someone who is experiencing domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
The end.
Yeah. I'm so torn. Because, I think the performances were great.
Mm-hmm. And the message is great, and you know, we know that there's violence against women in India is a huge pervasive issue.
Yes,
and so, you know, drawing attention to it is important.
Right, and it's so hard. It's like some movies about this are better than no movies about this.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I just wish that this had done more.
I wish this movie were better, I think, is the thing. It's like, you know, this isn't one of those cases where it does more harm than good. It just didn't. The good that it could have done would have been more if it had been delivered in a better package.
I feel like we've talked about this with movies before, but it is almost like they were like, okay, we want to talk about domestic violence and we want to call attention to this important issue, mm-hmm. but we want to put it in a marketable package to get people to come to the movie theater and see it.
Yeah, like, let's make it more showy by having there be these twins and you don't know what's going on with these sisters. Yeah.
But then I do think there's a world in which they could have pulled that off.
Yeah.
And they did not.
And they didn't, yeah. All of the things we've already said, they pulled themselves in too many different directions.
Yeah.
But that's it. I'm still excited to see more movies from Blue Butterfly absolutely. Productions. This is a good first try for Kriti's production company. And I think it's great that she, you know, stepped out with this, like, woman-forward movie.
Yes.
And this, like, social justice kind of a vibe. It's a promising place to sort of start off her journey. So I'm excited to see more from her, as always.
Yes, that does excite me. And, like, to be fair, I don't actually think it was bad.
No, yeah.
I don't think it was good.
Right.
But I don't think it was bad. It was a film.
It wasn't as good as it could have been. Like, they had the moving parts that could have made a really incredible, compelling movie, and they just, they fell short.
I think it was specifically saved by the acting.
Yes, absolutely. That's what made it worth watching,
for
sure.
If Kajol and Kriti hadn't been on that screen, I would have lost interest.
Yep.
But hey, you know.
But they were, so we didn't.
But they were. So we don't have to think about what would have happened. Are we ready for some research?
I don't know, but let's hear it.
We are ready for some research, because I don't know about you, but it sounded like you maybe were slightly more aware that this movie might have some domestic violence in
it. I didn't know it was going to be domestic violence specifically.
Oh, but you said violence against women.
I knew there was going to be some kind of violence against one of the sisters.
Okay, and I guess I just didn't think about it. I don't know. So I was completely caught off guard. And the very first thought I had was, I don't want to research abuse against women. Like, I just don't. We're in the middle of an election, literally today.
Yeah. The day we're recording is the day of the election in the U.S., and it's a tense day.
Yeah, and I was just like, I don't know. I don't want to purposely be reading about stuff that I know will make me sad, because, like, there's enough going on.
Mm-hmm.
So First, I just have a note on Blue Butterfly
great
films and like Creechy's creating it. And then we're going to talk about jury trials in India and why okay. they don't have them.
Oh, fascinating. Okay.
Yeah. Because I noticed in the movie, I was like, that judge just decided to sentence him.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, are there no juries?
Interesting. So
first, a note on Creechy and Blue Butterfly films. Just because I was like, I want to just hear in her words what her goal is for this production mm-hmm. house and what she's hoping to accomplish with it. So when she first announced the creation of Blue Butterfly, she said, I've been in this magical industry living my dreams for 9 years. I've taken baby steps, learned, evolved, and grown into the actor I am today. I absolutely love every bit and aspect of filmmaking. And now it's time to do more, to be more, to learn more, to tell more stories that touch my heart and hopefully yours too. Here's to constantly evolving and finding the most beautiful version of yourself. I love her.
Yep. I love that. Cheers to that, Creechy. And it makes me think of like the Blue Butterfly animation at the start of the movie with the butterfly like going into the cocoon and then or the caterpillar. You know. Yep. You know how butterflies work.
I do. Yeah.
But yeah, that was really sweet. And so I love that that's the spirit behind that for her. Just this mm-hmm. this idea of growth and change, and it's beautiful.
Yeah. It's really nice.
Love this. Love this for her and for us.
Yeah. There's another quote that I have from her where she explains why she chose that name.
Mm.
It is similar. So when asked why she chose that name, Creechy said, I think it signifies dreams, wings, flight, freedom, liberal, positivity, happiness, all of it. I feel like a butterfly is beautiful, but it starts off being a caterpillar, turning into a cocoon, and then turning into a butterfly. It is a slow, steady process and becoming the most beautiful version of yourself. She mm-hmm. does like that phrase, which yeah. I do too. And I think my life and my journey have kind of been like that. I've learned everything on the job. I've slowly gotten to where I am today and evolved into the person I am today. You have your struggles, but you move on, you grow, you change, and then you find the best, most beautiful version of yourself, and then you fly. Mm. So that's why it is Blue Butterfly.
Wonderful. Love it.
I wish nothing but the best for her.
I wish nothing but the best
for you.
Creechy. Yes, absolutely. Lovely yeah. stuff.
Yeah, it's great. So let's talk about the jury system in India.
Let's hear it, yeah.
Because it really started out with me just saying, that's interesting. Do they not have juries? And me asking Google.
Mm-hmm.
And it confirming, no, they do not have juries. But, of course, there is a story behind this.
Always.
Because there is a legal case from 1959 that is largely considered the last jury trial in India.
Mm.
Now, it's not. There were jury trials after it, but it was so explosive, it was so riveting to the population that a lot of people, when they think back to like the last major jury trial in India, they think of this case.
Okay.
This is the 1959 Nanavati case, which was really riveting. So we're going to go through the story and then we're going to go back to juries, but
okay.
You know me, I like a story.
Sure.
So the 1959 Nanavati case has become widely popularized through books and films, including the 1983 Malayalam movie Astrum, which I was like, that sounds like something that would have Mammootty in it. And it did.
It does. Great. Well, we'll have to add that to the list.
I searched it and I was like, yup.
Yeah, that's great. 1983 is also, I think, the year Dilkar Salman was born. So like, great. Yeah. He's just love barely it. Becoming a dad. We're all about it.
Yeah. So there's that movie. I'm like, okay, add it to the list.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 2016 Hindi film Rustam, which stars Akshay Kumar.
Hmm.
In this case, a naval commander named Nanavati was tried for the murder of Prem Ahuja, his wife's lover.
Oh.
Yeah. The story. Okay. Are we ready for this?
I don't know, but I'm going to try to be.
Okay. So Nanavati had settled in Bombay with his English-born wife, Sylvia, and their 3 children.
Okay.
Nanavati was away from home on assignments for long periods of time, and Sylvia ended up falling in love with one of Nanavati's close friends, Prem. In letters written by Sylvia to Prem, she expressed her desire to divorce Nanavati and marry Prem.
Okay.
On April 27th, 1959, Nanavati returned home and found Sylvia acting distant. Sylvia was unsure of Prem's intentions with her because she wanted to marry him but was not sure that he wanted the same, and so she told Nanavati about the affair.
Oh, boy.
I guess it was weighing heavily on
her. Hey, do you think my boyfriend wants to marry me?
It's like, because I don't want to divorce you if he's not going to marry me.
You're a man. What do you think? What's your perspective?
So Nanavati then took his family to the movies, dropped them off there, and went alone to confront Prem. Mm-hmm. When asked in court why she went to the cinema and left her agitated husband behind, Sylvia said, "I was upset myself and I did not think clearly then. I was not indifferent to my husband killing himself. It is difficult to explain these things to children, so I took them to the cinema." So Nanavati first went to the naval base and collected his pistol along with 6 bullets. He also had to lie about why he was taking his pistol out. Mm-hmm. Good to know that they had gun control laws, you know, in the 50s. Then he apparently did some work,
okay,
which is interesting. He went looking for Prem and eventually found him at his apartment. By the way, they'd been friends for like 15 years.
Aw.
Like, maybe don't sleep with your friends' wives. And no, wives, don't sleep with your husband's friends.
I think all of those things are good things to avoid.
Yeah.
Don't sleep with your, like, twin sister's ex-boyfriend. Yeah. You know, just, yeah.
Yeah, done. It shouldn't be that hard. The men had a heated argument in which Nanavati, according to his testimony, asked Prem whether he intended to marry Sylvia and accept their children. When Prem said no, 3 shots were fired and Prem ended up dead. Okay. Immediately after the incident, Nanavati confessed to his superiors at the naval base and he turned himself in to the police. When the case went to court, the main debate was whether Nanavati shot Prem in the heat of the moment, which would carry a maximum punishment of 10 years, or if it was a premeditated murder, which mm-hmm. carried a sentence of death or life imprisonment. Mm. Nanavati pleaded not guilty to premeditated murder, which is what the prosecution was arguing that it was. The 9-person jury ruled 8-1 that Nanavati was not guilty. Mm. The judge just was like, no, and considered this acquittal perverse. And so he made the historic decision to overturn the jury's ruling and refer the case to the Bombay High Court for a retrial. At the retrial, the prosecution team argued that the jury had misunderstood that the onus of proving the murder was an accident and not premeditated was on Nanavati. Mm-hmm. The Bombay High Court ended up ruling that the murder was premeditated and Nanavati was sentenced to life imprisonment. After that initial ruling, people had bad things to say about the jury, that they were easily misled and swayed by the media. And this case is largely credited for bringing about the end of jury trials.
Interesting.
Yeah. So then I read an article called Not the Right People, Why Jury Trials Were Abolished in India, written by James Jaffe, who explored why India no longer uses a jury trial system. Jaffe starts by saying that the judiciary had a large part in this change, especially in how they viewed jurors. Most jurors were thought of as ignorant, illiterate, and corruptible by the judges. Mm. This viewpoint had actually already led many states to move away from a jury system in serious criminal cases before the Nanavati case even happened. The Bombay Sessions Court was one of the few jurisdictions in 1959 that still used juries in murder cases. Jaffe then explores why the jury may have voted to acquit Nanavati when they had all this evidence that he, like, stopped and got his gun first,
yeah,
and he made a plan. The most common argument is that tabloid journalism, which was new in the late 1950s, championed Nanavati's cause and inflamed popular opinion in defense of the, quote, honor killing. And there were also class dynamics to consider. Nanavati came from a respectable Parsi family, as did the editor of the major tabloid at that time. The murder victim, Prem Ahuja, was a Sindhi and was considered an outsider and social climber in cosmopolitan Bombay. These factors all played a part in the ruling.
Interesting.
Yes. So moving on to the question of why the jury system was abolished, among other reasons, it was forced upon India by Great Britain during colonialism.
Yeah.
It was unduly complicated and expensive. local community suspicions and fears influenced jury decisions, mm-hmm. and caste and class differences inevitably affected jury verdicts. But most importantly, the push to abolish jury trials came from judges and the high courts themselves. Those courts argued that there were not enough educated and literate people in India to qualify as jurors, and thus trial by jury should be abolished. And so jury trials in criminal law were phased out in favor of bench trials, and the switch was officially codified in the 1973 Code of Criminal Procedure.
Okay.
So that's that. I really thought it was just going to be a short and quick answer, but once you get involved in a murder case, a murder of passion...
Listen, yeah. No, I mean, it's a very, very compelling story for sure. And it's interesting, too, because the fact that that crime sort of happened at the time that tabloids were becoming a thing.
Yeah.
It's like, just the timing of that is so interesting, because if it had happened at a later point when there was maybe more awareness of the ways that that might, like, sway people's decision-making. You know, because here in the U.S., we have sequestered juries. And
right.
So it's like, we're just going to keep you completely disconnected from the world so that none of that actually happens.
Yeah.
But if this is sort of new concepts, why would there be the idea that that would be necessary? A lot of interesting stuff to unpack there. And I really appreciate you even just, like, noticing that there wasn't a jury. Because I was just like, yeah, sure, you know, these people just talking in court, whatever. Like,
I was happy to see that and be like, okay, great. Okay, yes.
There actually is something to say about this.
Let's do that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
It is very interesting, because I also hadn't thought about the fact that there's a lot of components to it.
Yeah.
And, like, the caste system. I mean, and to be fair, like, the U.S. still deals with bias on juries today.
Yeah.
With regard to, like, race and religion and things. So I get it.
Yeah. And I don't know really enough about that system in the U.S., to know, like, what kinds of controversies do exist, but I know they do. And I know that when you're being selected for a jury, they do all this, like, interrogating and trying to understand, like, what your background is, what perspective you might bring to this case. And there's all these ways that it seems like one side or the other might be able to manipulate things in their favor. And, you know, most of what I know about it, I learned from movies, but a lot of them were, like, based on actual history.
Yeah.
It's just interesting to hear about a different way of doing things, I guess.
Yeah, agreed.
What was that Amazon series? Was it just called Jury?
Jury Duty.
Jury
it was called
Duty.
Jury Duty.
Yeah.
Oh, that was such a good show.
That's, like, one of the best premises for a show, I think, in the history of the world. And the fact that they
incredible.
Pulled it off.
Yeah. I'm hoping there's another season, but I don't know how.
How could they do it? Like,
I don't know.
They have to come up with something else to, like, trick someone into. If anyone listening hasn't seen the show Jury Duty, do yourself a favor. It's truly one of the best series I've ever seen.
It's like, this one guy believes that he's on jury duty, and
and he's not.
And everyone else is an actor.
Yeah, and it's kind of amazing.
It's
anyway,
like a social experiment. Oh, it's so good.
And it sounds like it would be, like, mean and bad, like they're tricking him, but everybody ended up absolutely loving this man.
Yes.
They somehow managed to choose the nicest, kindest man in America.
And I don't know how. There's so many ridiculous things that he just rolls
like
with.
All these things that they were trying to do to make him uncomfortable, that he was just like, yeah, no, man, it's cool. Like, don't worry about it.
His name was Ronald.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Ronald.
Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was my research. So
it was very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Bollywood news.
I just have one piece of Bollywood news.
Is it the big one?
I think it's fairly sizable.
Okay.
Would you like to share your news first in case it's different?
I think your news is probably my news.
Okay.
So you go for it.
Okay. I just wanted to share the exciting announcement of the name of Dua Padukone Singh.
Her little toes.
Her little toes. Yeah. That was... I, like, you know, just wasn't expecting it at all, and to, like, see the post.
Neither.
And yeah, it was so adorable, and what a sweet name, and I'm just so excited for them, for that family, the Padukone Singh family.
It's gonna be incredible.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that, like, I know at least Ranveer has some movies in the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if Deepika does too.
I mean, I'm sure she does, but I don't know what they are. Like, I haven't really been paying attention to what either of them have coming out in the near future.
I don't know if I could wait. I don't know if I'm okay with a 2 to 3 year break.
I was thinking about with Anushka Sharma, because, like, she posted a really cute picture of her husband, like, holding her two kids and, like, their faces were covered. I love that I call Virat Kohli Anushka Sharma's husband.
Right. Because that's he's a very good
context
player.
That he's important to me in. But anyway, good for her. I'm so happy that she gets to make that choice to, like, you know, not be working so much and beginning to spend time with her family. But I'm also like, I really want to see Anushka Sharma in a movie.
I like to see you on screen. Yeah. And then just interesting because then it's like Alia Bhatt, I don't even really remember her taking a break.
Yeah, it seems like
she's just so hot right now. Like,
right. Yeah. Like her career. Yeah. I mean, was already blowing up, but it's sort of like she had a baby, like, mid-blow up, and then it just continued.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just interesting.
Right. And again, this isn't to
tack one is not better than the other.
What women should or shouldn't do, but just, like, we just want to see the people we love make movies, so. But it'll happen again for sure.
With Deepika. So exciting. Thank you for sharing. I was like, I know that's going to be your news. Pluggables.
Yes.
Follow us on Instagram at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. We post occasionally. Do what you do there. Any and all interaction is welcome, even if we're not very responsive. Mm-hmm. And by we, I mean me. Also consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You could also perhaps leave a rating or review on that podcast platform. And no matter what you do, thank you so much for listening.
Indeed. And join us on YouTube and Spotify with our Bollywood Bangers playlists. We add the songs that we love from the movies we watch to those playlists and link them in our Instagram posts when they happen. But they're also in our episode description, so you can find them there always.
Yes. Woo. Okay, Kim. What are we watching next week?
Well, we're going back to Shah Rukh because even though we watched a movie for his birthday and then we watched a completely different movie that had nothing to do with him, we do still think of November as being his month.
Yes.
So we are watching Dil To Pagal Hai.
Yeah, we wanted a 90s Shah Rukh film.
We did, and neither of us has seen this one. Nope. But really all the other movies that we were looking at watching with him were like serious and we didn't want that after this serious movie for this week. So let's have a little fun.
Yeah, this seems, watch this have just like, it's going to really mislead us. And even though it says it's charming, joyous, comedy, romance, what if there's murder?
Just like everybody dies.
Yeah.
Let's hope not. On IMDb, our plot description is a grand musical about three passionate and dreamy characters, Rahul, Pooja, and Nisha. Will their dreams come true? Will they find their true love? We'll find out.
I am very excited about that.
Me too.
That sounds good. It's available to watch on Amazon Prime. And the Amazon Prime synopsis is Dil To Pagal Hai is the story of Rahul, who does not believe in love. Classic. It is the story of Pooja, who believes that there is someone who is made for her, and she is destined to meet that person. It is the story of Nisha, who believes that love is friendship, and one day her dream will come true. It makes us believe that someone somewhere is made for us.
Aw.
Well, that's really sweet.
That is nice, yeah.
Aw. Okay, I can get behind this. Oh my gosh, Akshay Kumar's in this.
I just had that moment too and was thinking about how silly his photo on IMDb looks. Like, it looks like a senior photo.
It does. Yes.
Like he just graduated from high school and he's staring off into his future.
Yes. I keep looking at it. Yeah, because it's the specific, like, head tilt and, like, the kind of lean with the background. Oh, my
and
God.
He's not looking at the camera. He's, like, looking off into the middle distance.
Good. That's brilliant. And, hey, it's a Yash Chopra film, so
yay.
It's probably going to be great in terms of the love and the dance numbers and
the
stuff.
Music. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
I'm excited for a little bit of a lighthearted love movie.
Me
after
too.
This.
Yeah.
And always here for a new Shah Rukh Khan film.
Always.
New to me.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. New to us.
Wunderbar. So, yeah. Watch it. Enjoy it. And until next time, remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
Mm-mm.
But we need Bollywood.
And in particular, more Kriti.
Oh, always more Kriti. And Kajol.
And Kajol.
Amazing.
Yeah.